CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow, as well as teaching law at NYU and the University of Chicago, writing and defining ideas in praise of the now-departed John Racian, who led Hoover for many years, including the time I learned from Richard's autobiography, the time that Richard joined the Hoover Institution. John Racian was a quiet figure to my experience at Hoover. I've been broadcasting with Hoover fellows for most of this century, and I've always found it extremely elucidating, and in no way did I have to go through an apparatus to get permission. You send an email to the Hoover fellow, and you get a response, I can or I can't, and then we go on air. John Racian quietly made all this possible. Richard, your memory of John Racian.
Well, John Racian was an extraordinary man, and you actually hit something, which is John actually had a serious ideology about how organizations ought to run. And if I had to say where it began, he was a pretty astute observer of political life. He was never an original thinker. That was never his forte. But he sort of understood the way institutions work, and he really cared about doing it. And so his general view about the world at large is that decentralized decisions made by private institutions, as opposed to collective decisions made by government agencies, is going to get you more information, more diversity, more rapid responses than everything else. There is a movement inside various institutions, much of it inspired by Charles Koch and the Koch Foundation, to sort of bring the same general principles of decentralization that Hayek talked about with respect to a government's relationship to organization inside the organization, so that what you did is you had an organization which was decentralized. So the Catholic Church, for example, when it runs school districts, is a decentralized organization. What they do is they give budgets out to various schools, let them run the way they think, and then at the end of the year, they call them to accounting. And if you don't do it well, you get replaced. And if you do get well, you get renewed. But a very small staff, very nimble. And John was like that with me as a scholar. It's even better than that. So he said, you want to do anything, go do it. I brought you here because I have confidence in your judgment. And when you speak out and identify yourself with the Hoover Institution, I hope you will both improve the general discourses in the world at large and increase the operation and the reputation of Hoover, which became the number one think tank in the world during much of the period at which he ran the operation. But it was not just that. I mean, anybody can let you do something, but John was also extremely able at doing, was empowering you to do more things than you might have otherwise have thought to do. I like to talk on the air, and I have no particular area of specialization. As you know, John, we talk about whatever we happen to talk about. Well, John said, that's a good characteristic. Why don't you do a column for me? It's sort of about 2007, which I still write, a column on defining ideas. It wasn't as though everybody's going to write a column. John said, I want you to write it. I want to support you financially for this. I'll give you an editor and so forth. Go. And, you know, then at the end of the year, he said, nice job on the column. Never interfered on any individual cases because he thought that that would be essentially ruining the way an operation worked. They said, I like your TV show, write your column. Why don't you do a podcast? So we do a podcast and so forth. Then he organized various kinds of task force to do work. And task force are a riskier operation than individual situation because if the chemistry works well, these bodies essentially will do well. But if the task force doesn't work so well, it's in danger of imploding. So John was essentially an extraordinarily effective backer. He was a pretty effective fundraiser. And essentially, whenever he was involved in presenting the fellows to the rest of the world, John always took the position, as I said in the column, that he was like Ed Sullivan. He was always on stage, but never in the limelight. And there are two kinds of leaders in the world, charismatic leaders who have a short and glorious career, but can sustain it. You could think of Donald Trump as that kind of person. Or there are other people who are much more subdued, and since they don't wear out their welcome, they can continue to work for a long period of time. So John remained the head of the Hoover Institution for 26 years. And towards the end of his career, he got a little bit ill, which eventually led to his death. But when he was at his peak, it was a pleasure and an honor to work with him. And I'm not the only one at Hoover who feels that way. Everybody who came under his watch yes. has a very similar reaction to him.
Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,